Welcome to Your Brand Amplified, the podcast where we interview marketers, publicists, and brands to learn their stories, what makes them tick, and tips and tricks that make a difference. Peter Zemes is my guest for today's episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'm your host, Annika Jackson. And Peter, you are a successful serial entrepreneur. You were mentioning you just recently exited from one of your brands. You've started other ones in the meantime since the first time that your agency and I started having these conversations. But you didn't start out as an entrepreneur. You majored and your background was in biology.
Can you talk
a little bit about what that was like? How did you always have some idea that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Or how did that come about?
I would say I was always pretty creative. Like, I always wanted to be a creator for sure. And entrepreneurs are by definition creators. They create things out of nothing, right? And yeah, you know, I was in biology and I did some internships in the summer with like research clinics and just to see if I, what kind of doctor I want to be or what kind of researcher I want to be. And like, there was nothing that was like, you know, really felt like this is it, you know? And I was like, all right, so I'm in biology. Like, what am I going to do here? And all I wanted to do for, I think, the previous 10 years of my life, which is really weird when you're a 10-year-old kid and you're like in Barnes and Noble and you're like, I just want to write a book. That was my whole life like that. And I was like, I just wanted to write a book. And I'm like, I'm in biology. Like, I know some health stuff. Let me just write a book on some stuff in health. And that's how it started. And I ended up writing a book called Anabolic Stretching, which before my finals in fourth year started doing like six figures a year, basically, and completely like, you know, yeah, it went like bonkers. And that's what started the entrepreneurial journey. And that brand built up and I sold that when I was 22 and then kind of continued ever since. But yeah, I was just a kid who wanted to write a book and I had enough naiveness that I was like, I can do it in the beginning. Because if I knew how hard it was, I don't know that I would have started, to be honest. But we're here now, so.
We are here now. And it all started with the book, which is such an unusual journey. Most people become entrepreneurs and then they write a book to share the story. So you were able to use your background, though, obviously, to figure out what you wanted to write on. But why did you choose that topic? Was it something that you were just seeing that people weren't doing enough of?
I had seen a lack of, I guess, education in like men's stretching specifically, like the bodybuilding world, because there was a lot for women and yoga and all this stuff.
Right.
But there was nothing for like big bodybuilding men. And what those guys care about is not getting injured and building muscle. And like through biology classes and everything I was about to learn, I learned about a technique called loaded stretching, which is basically stretching with weights and what became anabolic stretching. And that not only like protects your ligaments, it actually like trains them to get thicker so you can avoid injury, but it also helps like massively increase growth hormone and lactic acid in the muscle. And we're getting technical, but the whole point is like there was a gap in the market. And I'm like, let me just see if I can fill it. Yeah.
Okay. So you're not yet an entrepreneur. You have never written a book before.
Never yet.
You didn't really have an audience. You're in college. You're in university. So how did this book start? How did you get it to the point? Like, how did you decide to release it? And how did you figure out how to navigate that world?
Yeah. So I had a good mentor that I was paying at the time that I was maxing out my credit card for, like every call, essentially to pay. And what I did was I got really smart because I was at college. I was living with six roommates. So I had like my rent was like, whatever, $200 a month or just like nothing. I was in college. And I'm like, all right, I don't really need money from this book. But like if I had an audience, I could sell them stuff later on. And so what I did is I started getting affiliates that were in the fitness space and I told them they could have 100% of the profits from the book if they promoted the book. And so I gave away all the front end money, but then I ended up keeping the customers and then started making a ton of money on the back. And when I wrote like the second program or did like online fitness coaching or sold supplements or whatever else. But that's really how it started because no one was giving away 100% of their business like on the front end. Like nobody would do that except for the kids spending $200 a month on rent.
Wow. So that's an amazing story. And it's something that is not very common.
No.
Obviously. No. How many years ago was that?
Got to be like 2015, I think. Probably 2016, like quite a while ago. 8 years, I would say now. Nine years. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was in college from 2013 to 2017. So I think 2016, it really took off. In 2017, I'm done with college.
Yeah. And so out of that, you said, okay, now I can sell this. I could sell this, all things that were related to the same industry. And then your next business was the supplement millionaire?
No, that came a couple of years later. I ended up becoming like, I sold that business, took some time off, did a lot of consulting and writing in the SEO space for a bit. And it's still health like supplements. And then after that, I started just doing like full blown like direct response copy, because I had done it for my brand originally that I sold, and I wasn't really into starting a new brand yet. I wasn't ready. I didn't have like a novel idea. And so I just decided to go write for other people that were doing well and make some good cash and learn from how they're scaling their business. Because my brand only got to 7 figures, but I wanted to work for people that did like 8 and 9 figures so I could, you know, learn. And that's what I did for a few years. And then I met my business partner, Cody, and we launched the mastermind together and then ended up building a couple brands together and then have some my other brands outside of that. But yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So I love the fact that you recognize that you needed to find coaches, you needed to find mentors and people that you had a skill that would help them, but then you could also learn how to build your businesses even bigger and how to scale larger.
Yes, that's totally it. I got paid to learn. It's the opposite of going to college, and you know, I'm paying to go learn. So I got paid to learn. Yeah.
So then what was the next part of your journey? Because you do have other companies, as you said. I'm just looking at your LinkedIn profile. I'm looking at your hat and your, you know, sweatshirt, and they have one of your brands on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Supplemillionaire, I exited in December of last year. And that's because my dog brand, it's this, we sell like dog vitamins and treats. It's called Pup Labs. And it just exploded. And we're doing about 7 figures a month right now. And it's going phenomenal. We have some of the best products on the planet, straight up. Like our dog treats are so clean that humans can eat them. So I'm really excited about the brand. And so because of the amount of time it was taking with that brand, I just decided like, it's time for me to go Supplemillionaire. Like that journey ended for me. Cody still runs it. And it's a great program. But beyond that, it's just the dog brand I'm focused on. I've got a couple other supplement brands that I just keep low key to avoid competition mostly. And I got this, the clothing brand, which makes no money right now. I'm hoping one day it will. It's a men's mental health brand. It's called Hot Guys Do Therapy. I went through my own therapy journey. It was hit me hard. So I wanted to kind of share the message. And the goal is never to make money from this brand. It's really a not-for-profit. It's just to like spread the message and, you know, have really comfy sweaters, honestly.
Before we talk about that journey, let's talk about moving from supplements and the world of working out into the world of animals. And I am a dog mom, and it is hard to find the right things. They're 11. They have different needs than they did when they were younger. So what was the impetus behind starting something that was completely almost out of, you know, left field?
I will show you this one right here. Yeah. My little golden boot. Yeah. 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 She, Zoe, when she was 8 months or 9 months, she started having this like terrible limp. I mean, we didn't know what was wrong. And we took her to like a variety of doctors and specialists and did x-rays and blood tests. And like, no one could tell us anything. Then they wanted to do surgery and all this stuff because she was like hyper depressed, could walk like 2 steps without crying. And all these doctors, like $25,000 surgery for nothing. It was like exploratory surgery and she could possibly die during the surgery. And I was like, you know, screw this. Like, I'm going to go figure it out. And, you know, I started learning about all the crap in the dog industry and how like basically big kibble is poisoning every dog on the planet. And then all the vets are just fucking, not all of them, obviously, but they're just only prescribing medication to solve what big kibble has done. It's very similar to big pharma, in my opinion.
Wow. Interesting. So,
yeah, well, you know, we changed out her food, changed out her water, changed out everything, started adding good vitamins and minerals to her diet. And like within 4 weeks, she healed herself and she has not been sick since. I swear to God. Yeah. And I have a biology background, so I could, you know, we did some other stuff there and was able to analyze a few things. And I was like, man, people need more of like what I gave Zoe. And so we decided to start Pup Labs. And then we started that in 2021. Like most businesses, it sucked for the first 2 years. We lost about $200,000, to be honest. Made no money, but we turned it around this year and it's exploded. And it's really because of her. And, you know, again, also a gap in the marketplace. I think there was a gap in good marketing in the dog space. Well, I think a lot of big dog companies have been like lazy and they're just like, they've been able to bully everyone else out for the past like 15, 30 years and no one has entered it. And the other thing too about the dog space is that manufacturing dog supplements is not easy. Hmm. It has taken me 2 years to find a good manufacturer. And even then, like it's difficult. One that I can actually trust and to deliver on time, because the human supplements, like there's manufacturers everywhere, but dog stuff, it's not that easy, especially to make good stuff. And like, I'm giving all the stuff to my dog. Like, I'm not going to give her garbage.
Right.
You know? So yeah, it was a hard business to make work, but it was really because of her. She started it. I didn't start it. I was just like the vessel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And I completely agree that there's so many things. It is like humans, like let's just pile another medicine on top of everything else you're taking to solve whatever the issue is, instead of looking at like, well, what are we actually putting into our bodies? How are we, what are we fueling ourselves with? So in that way, I mean, it does dovetail perfectly with your background in biology and also your study of the human body. Now you're just studying animals instead.
Yeah. Like, I never would have thought I would use my biology degree, I'll be honest, but it has like helped a lot. And I've stayed in the health world. That's pretty much why. Well, like, I'm a marketer, I guess, by trade or entrepreneur, but it is all in the health space. So
what are some of the hard lessons? Because you said that when you started Pup Labs, you know, the first 2 years were very difficult. You had to invest a lot of time and money in supply chain issues and like finding the right quality and developing this. What are some of the other big issues that you encountered that other entrepreneurs would also encounter?
I think learning how to properly market to the dog space was very hard because you're selling a product for someone you can't speak to and doesn't have a credit card, but you have to sell to the human who doesn't actually need the product. It's a very weird dynamic. Yeah. It's very, very weird. That was probably the hardest thing. And that's why we lost so much money, because we couldn't figure out how to crack the marketing side of the brand. I mean, there was phases, like we had some products which like were pretty average. And then, you know, eventually I found a good manufacturer to fully custom, fully, you know, world-class products, where Pup Labs, like if it disappeared tomorrow, it now would be missed. Whereas like 2 years ago, it was just like another Me Too brand and it wouldn't have been missed. So that was like one of them. And then again, the marketing was just so much trial and error on figuring out, all right, like how do I sell a dog thing to humans so that they can fix their dog, but speak to the human emotions while saying it's the dog pain points.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a lot of trial and error in that one.
And would you say that was mostly digital? Was it like a mix of different advertising and marketing?
All digital. Yeah, mostly digital. I mean, I was in person and like I would talk to random people on the street about their dogs and stuff and try to get a feel. But all digital, I mean, digital is the fastest way for me to test marketing angles. You know, one of the ways we started doing it was we built our TikTok page and we started doing all these videos, and whatever videos went viral became like a marketing angle. Whatever didn't become a marketing angle. And for me, it was free testing. I mean, now we have 200,000 followers, which is fantastic, which was never my goal. It was just to test marketing angles for free.
Yeah. Wow. What a journey. And then now you have Hot Guys Do Therapy as your next passion project.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you had your own experience. Can you elaborate a little bit?
Sure, yeah. I would say up until I was about 26, I didn't really understand emotions or how to feel them very well, as like most men probably do. I had a pretty intense like case of it, just given like childhood. But yeah, it was just very hard for me to understand any of that, which made me good at business, but like super isolated, super lonely, to the point where I was like 25 and I was making great money, had like a girlfriend for a very long time and had a great family. Like everyone's happy and healthy. And like, I was just super depressed and I couldn't understand it. And yes, I went to go seek out this world-class therapist out in Malibu. And yeah, just life fully changed after that completely. Business is better. Life is better. I'm happier, healthier. You know, I can understand why people like music now. Like I genuinely did not understand people like that. It was really bad. Yeah. I had a bad case. Yeah, I remember hearing music for the first time in July of 2021 when I was like in the middle of the therapy session. It was like a day three and it was Post Malone. Yeah. And I was like, I get it now. Super weird. Yeah.
That is so fascinating. What do you think was the reason why you didn't feel, is it just because men, you know, are raised to not talk about emotions and you were obviously in the fitness space, or?
I think it was just a lot of factors. I just think that like as a kid, I was taught to severely repress like my emotions and my feelings and everything. And I was very good at it. That's all. I was just very, very good at it, you know, instead of being bad at it. Yeah, I was just good at it and it stuck and it just got worse and worse over the years. And yeah, like I was very, very hard to connect with, I would say up until about like 26, 27. I'm not, you know, like I love my ex-girlfriend, but yeah, I'm sure that she had a fucking nightmare trying to connect with me. So I feel for her. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now do you speak to other men about feelings? And is that why you started the brand? So you'd have a talking point and something to connect with?
Yeah. People? Yeah. Well, the brand started because I wanted really comfy sweaters in Canada where it's cold as shit. And I wanted to put something on there that I thought would go viral. And it's a trending topic and that like I really like I care about, because it's just not about like the money for me anymore at this point. So and yeah, and like I know there's tons of other men, especially entrepreneurs, who are like heavily disassociated from their emotions. And the irony is that the better like you get in touch with them, the better business decisions you make and the more money you make. But most people don't get that. They try to be stoic, but like emotions are core to the human experience. And when you kill a quarter of you, you can't make the best decision in business and life and relationships. Like, you absolutely cannot do it with, if you had four limbs, you'd be missing a limb. You can't run as fast. You can't do things as well. So that's like the real reason as well. But yeah, helping people just have like better lives, happier, healthier, connect more. It helps women have less problems too when the men get their shit together. So yeah, everybody wins.
Yeah. So that company, so is it a nonprofit, or that's your goal is to make
it? It's my goal is to be like a not-for-profit. Right now it's pretty small. My goal, I'm going to say this recorded right now, is actually to get Selena Gomez to like promote it and wear it. And I actually just met her photographer 2 days ago. So I'm pretty getting closer and closer to that goal. So we'll see. Hopefully this happens. I just think she would be a great person for the brand to represent it. But
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. The goal is just to spread the message and see what happens. I'm not really attached to any of the outcomes of this brand. It's not meant to make money. It's just meant to spread the message.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And for when you made the transition from your first, going back, your first business, yeah, and doing the book, and then you have a story about you grew your supplement brand with no social media to 7 figures in 90 days.
Yeah.
Okay. How? Because that's like, it sounds like you have a lot, you figured out whether you stumbled upon them or you just created, you know, you tested, but you have a lot of success really fast with things that, I mean, even success within 2 years with Pup Labs.
Yeah, yeah.
Most entrepreneurs don't feel as much success as you've had in your, you know, less than a decade of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, we're very good at acquiring customers. That's like profitably on day zero. You know, a lot of companies are VC backed and that's a cool business model, I guess, but I hate going in the red on day zero. I think it's a terrible business model unless you have an absolutely life-changing product that is just, it's the best thing ever. Well, like, obviously, you like want to give an example, and this is not a great product to give an example, but like Juul was a phenomenal, like innovative product, horrible for humanity, but an innovative product in the sense, and I could see why they went in the red for so long. I really did understand that and made sense. But yeah, so we've been very, I've learned how to acquire customers basically at profit or at break even immediately on paid traffic. So YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. And so you put in $1, you get out $1.10. Great. Let's put in 10 grand and get out, you know, 11 grand or whatever. And that's the model.
Yeah. So you really understand who the customer is and how to target. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the dog thing. That's why it took 2 years, because I didn't understand how to target them, how how to market to them, how to speak to them, how to capture attention with ads, you know, because like you'd think the cute dog would catch it, but it's not the cute dog. it's the older, sad dog. It's, yeah, there's a lot of things.
And now you have this storytelling structure also that's really helped with identifying and sharing the right messages to the right customer at the right time.
Yeah.
What does that look like?
Yeah, so the structure is like based off the movie Inception, and it's about being able to plant an idea in someone's brain without them realizing that you planted it. And so we came up with a formula called the Epic Formula. It's called, you start with emotion and then you introduce the problem and then you incept the idea and then you close them. And it's kind of been the structure from all like infomercials and other advertisement strategies that I've used and written for. But yeah, so just the Epic Formula. We did like, I guess we made it up, but we also pulled from hundreds of years of marketing research and just kind of made it sound cooler.
Yeah. And now, okay, so you started with one book. Now you have 7 books. Is that correct?
I had a lot of books. Yeah, yeah. The Anabolic Stretching and then Anabolic Priming and a couple other like back end books. And then I finished my, I wrote my last book a couple years ago in the health space. And that's kind of when I stopped doing like fitness ab stuff, which was a 6-pack abs book. And that became a #1 bestseller on Amazon, which was really cool. But at that point, I was like very over being like the abs guy. So,
And are most of your things, except for obviously the animals, the dogs, but most of your other brands, have they been tailored more to a male audience?
I would say in my early career, yeah, like the first 5 or 6 years, I just connect with them better. But the past few years has definitely been more either animals or like females, I would say. Females are just better consumers. They really are. They drive all the purchasing, like whether it's a man buying for someone or they tell the man to buy it because they need it or they buy it themselves. Like I would say it's about 90% women driven in terms of consumers. So, yeah.
Yeah. And what's next? Are you continuing with the Pup Labs journey? Are you looking at other product expansion, other animals, other types of businesses? Yeah. Definitely sounds like you don't like to sit still.
Yeah.
You're not going to let like any dust get on you.
Yeah. I'm trying to sit still right now and just like double down on the dog brand. It's really exploded. I do have an equity stake in this salt supplement brand called Upgraded Formulas. and we're trying to take that to a big nine-figure exit. They've just got phenomenal nanosupplements, clinical trials in their products. And I mean, I take them every day, so I'm totally, you know, fuck with the brand. Yeah, I'm really trying to sit still, which is very hard for me to do. But it's really just focus on the dog brand and upgraded formulas and just, you know, Hawkeye's therapy slowly. I'm just kind of like, I'm not as attached to it. And so I'm just trying to like, all right, what's the best OSS, which is optimal selling system? Like for Pup Labs, it's like cold traffic advertising. For Upgraded, it's cold traffic advertising. But for like, for me to run ads, like a sweater company is probably not the best model. You know, is it going to be influencer marketing? Is it just going to be like build everything out and give everything away for free in the beginning and just let the word get out? Is it go after celebrities and just pay whatever you have to get them to promote it? Like, I don't know yet. I haven't gotten to like that stage yet. I'm thinking it'll come to me in the next like 6 months or so what the OSS is. And once that's figured out, it's just like execution time.
Yeah. What are some of the hardest lessons that you've learned along the way?
Timing is super important for everything. Like right now, I'd love to like have a wife, but like it'd be very hard for me to have a wife just given like how my life is going right now. And that's a hard thing to accept, but I'm also not willing to give up like my current stuff right now. Business stuff, like for example, the dog brand timing. If I had launched it like early on in my career, it probably would have failed because in COVID, everyone got a dog and it dramatically boosted the industry without new players coming to space.
Right.
I've got like a respiratory brand and the Juul documentary had came out a week before I launched that brand.
Wow.
And so again, like timing that I even had no idea that was going to happen. But again, just like timing, I think it just, yeah, one of my mentors told me that like a best-selling book with the wrong timing will just become a dud. It's just really true. Just the timing of the world. What's going on? What are the trends? What are the declines? You know, just that's been the hardest lesson is accepting that like not everything is in your control. And so when you catch a wave, just try to ride it. And if there's no wave yet, you just kind of got to like wait it out.
Yeah. Wow. And what's unique also is that you've timed things really well, whether you meant to or not. You've also been able to really hone in on what's that sweet spot that will sell this product or service to somebody, the right buyer at the right time, and those compelling offers. You've tested out different things, like you said. So what are some things that if somebody's just starting their business and they're looking and like, there's so much information and it's really hard to figure out which way to go with your marketing and your advertising, what would you recommend to them as first steps?
I mean, like what we did at Pup Labs was just start testing on TikTok, like videos, and those videos were built on angles of marketing. Mm-hmm. And you watch those videos because TikTok is built on the algorithm of attention, and all advertising is keeping your attention until you buy. That's literally all it is. And so if TikTok is pushing the video, it means that it's getting attention, and you're pretty much guaranteed that angle, because it's definitely not the video editing, I can promise you that, is going to crush. Because all video editing is like the same at this point. Not all the same, but like there's obviously levels, as long as it's good enough. That's probably the easiest way and the free way to do it. If you have like a bit of cash, I would probably just get a mentor in the space, pay them whatever they want per hour, thousands of dollars if you have to, because an hour with a genius will save you so much money and time and put you on the right path. They'll just course correct you times 10 every time you have a call with them. And that's probably been like one of my better secrets to like success is just, even when I was like a broke college kid, I'd pay $500 an hour for my mentor and I'd go to work as like a part-time busboy just to make that $500, because that hour like put me on the path that I needed to, or else I would have just made so many decisions. And sure, I could have gotten there eventually, but I would be 40 instead of 29, which I am right now. And so I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have a mantra, motto, or is it wisdom that you live by?
Not really. Maybe it's just like be kind. I don't know. Like that's pretty much it. Worlds are like people, you just don't know what they're going through ever. And so just like be kind. And, you know, obviously, like if someone is just like being an absolute dick to you, you know, set a boundary and walk away. But it doesn't mean you have to be a dick back. And I really do believe in karma and all that stuff. And yeah, I think you just got to be kind to the world and everyone and just like work as hard as you can, as long as you can. Try as many things as you can until one thing hits. Like, I think that's the name of the game in like any endeavor of life. You know, you try as many diets as you can so you find the one that you stick with. You know, for the health reasons or for weight loss reasons, you try dating as many people as you can until you find the person that like you want to spend the rest of your life with, or the people, whatever you want to do. And businesses too. Like you keep trying business models until you find the one that like works. Cause that's what risk taking is. It's just like putting yourself out like, and like to fail. And eventually like you don't fail because you learn the pattern recognition that's required to actually be successful in every endeavor. Like my pattern recognition skills in business are phenomenal, world class.
Yeah,
really. Relationships, I'm like couple years behind. We'll say that. So yeah, working on that one.
Oh, and where would you like people to go to learn more about you? Then, like, do you do consulting? If somebody's a new entrepreneur and they want to reach out, can they bend your ear?
I sometimes do consulting if, like, the person convinces me to. I would say that. So if you really want consulting, you can just email me, and I'm happy to listen to your pitch. And if I think it's a good fit and it's a good timing for me, I'm definitely open to consulting for brands. But I have a blog, pretty infamous blog in the marketing world, and now it's expanding beyond that, called beatyourcontrol.com. It used to be just about split testing and marketing, but I've kind of expanded it to be into health as well now. And I think eventually life, it'll probably be like a just my life blog in general, or just life lessons. But yeah, it's become like this weird famous blog. Like, I was talking to a guy in Brazil the other day who doesn't speak any English, and the whole blog is in English, and he's just been translating the whole blog, and he loves it. I'm like, all right, that's right. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So we'll have people go to your blog cool. So they can really learn more about everything that you do. And are there any last thoughts that you want to leave the audience with today?
I think just that you can always make more money. You just can get time back. And so just buy as much speed as you can, pay for mentors, pay the best people, because make decisions fast and learn from them, hire quick, fire quick. you can't get more time back, unfortunately. And obviously I'm still young, but yeah, it goes by pretty quick.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for your time today and sharing some knowledge and inspiration with the audience.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
I think that you are definitely an outlier in the world of entrepreneurship and business through your blog and everything else that you're doing. You're going to be a great example for people to see how they can really scale faster and learn how to do things better and ideate and iterate and split test and all of the fun things. So
yeah, I just think people need to be more of themselves, and they'd be surprised how far they get in life instead of trying to be someone society says or the parents said or someone else said they should be, if they just acted like more of who they really are, which is hard to discover, obviously. I think that's why we like adore some of the celebrities, is because they are acting so much. They're so authentic that we just can't help but be enamored. The fact that they're not afraid to hide who they are, which most people are, including myself for a long time and still am a little bit. But yeah, so that's like, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Peter Zemis, again, thank you so much for your time today. And thank you to the audience for watching or listening this episode of Your Brand Amplified. I'll be back again in a few days with another entrepreneurial expert to share their advice with you. Want more? Check out amplifywithannika.com or follow me on socials at amplifywithannika.